Thank you, John. Wow, such great news, such exciting news. I was thinking about the GOE that we had in D.C., and we prayed over abortion. We prayed about abstinence. We prayed over our youth. So much of our prayers were in respect to the youth today and God bringing them up and out of the darkness that they're in. But to see things start coming out, we also prayed about the media, to see things coming out in the headlines that, you know, the fruit of that time in prayer, it's so exciting and it's so wonderful. It's so encouraging. What a great way to start the evening. So thank you for sharing that. Heavenly Father, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for this evening. I want to thank you for the brief time that we have together to grow in you, to be strengthened in you, to have our spirits ignited through the word, to have your word go deep down within us and refine us, to purify us, to do the work necessary to prepare us for the days ahead. I thank you. I thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be with this group of intercessors tonight. Let us grow together, Lord God. Let us develop together. Let your word speak to us, Lord God. Come, Holy Spirit. I thank you. I thank you. And I thank you. I know John already did, but I thank you for that abortion law that's been signed, that bill that's been signed. I thank you that it is saving babies' lives. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you. We love you, Lord, and we praise you in your precious name. Amen. We have been talking about the refining process. We've been talking about what God is wanting out of us, what God, and I mean literally out of us, removed from us for quite some time now. God is trying to dig deep within us and remove anything that stands in the way of Him. We've talked about the love of God and learning to walk in the love of God. We've talked about forgiveness and learning to walk and what it really means to walk in forgiveness with others. We've talked about a lot of things. And tonight, we're going to go back to the refining fire. And I talked, I think the first night or two that we got together, we talked about the refining fire. And we talked about the process of a goldsmith and a silversmith. And I'm going to go a little bit deeper into that today because I feel like the Lord is wanting me to. So before we start, I do want to read a scripture. And I want to ask for all of our goldsmiths, silver workers, precious mineral people out there. If I make a mistake, I ask in advance for your forgiveness because I did some research today because I felt like there was something I was missing last time. And so it's brand new information for me kind of in the process. So if I make a mistake, just forgive me and let's just work on the heart of the issue together, okay? Turn with me to 1 Peter 2, 1, and I'm going to read in the Amplified tonight. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. So be done with every trace of wickedness, depravity, and malignity, and all deceit and insincerity, pretense and hypocrisy, and grudges, that's envy and jealousy, and slander and evil speaking of every kind. Like newborn babies, you should crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk. that by it you may be nurtured and grow unto completed salvation. Since you have already tasted the goodness and kindness of the Lord, come to him then, to that living stone which men tried and threw away, but which is chosen and precious in God's sight. Come, and like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house for a holy, dedicated, consecrated priesthood to offer up those spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. Peter, now this was written towards the end of Peter's life. You know, he spent three and a half years with Jesus. Peter lived another, you know, few decades after this. Peter grew in God, and we all know he was commissioned with sending the gospel. We all know that he was committed to the rock on which the church would be founded. And so Peter had learned quite a few lessons from the time that he was a burly fisherman with Jesus. And well, when Jesus first called him, you know, the fishermen back then were known to be ruffians. That's kind of a funny word, I know, but ruffians. They were fearless. They would go out in the Sea of Galilee, and they would have their ships, and they would go out there, and they would cast their nets and bring hundreds of fish up into their boat. Two or three fishermen working together to bring in the harvest. He and his brothers both shared this business that they had. And so, but in the Sea of Galilee, there would be sudden storms that would come in, and a 20 or 30 foot boat could easily be capsized. So they learned this, they grew in it, and they were fearless in their work. No wonder the Lord selected this man and his brothers to walk alongside him, because he knew the path that Peter would walk, and he knew the call, the commission to the church that Peter would have. Now, I love Peter because Peter is full of mistakes. He's always putting his foot in his mouth. I love that he is so passionate. You know, I think we talked last time. He's, you know, he's when they come and they're trying to take away his Lord, he's got his sword out and he's ready to go to battle. He cuts a man's ear off and Jesus heals him and off they go. He is a man who loves. He is a man who is passionate. And even after he denied Jesus three times and heard that cock crow, he was still the one commissioned to take the gospel. And we talked about Peter last week because we were talking about the path that Jesus has to cleanse us from, the washing of the feet of the disciples. And when we come up to the Lord and we repent for our sins, he washes from us the path that we've been on. What happens after that? What happens after the initial cleansing? And that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about going from babes in Christ, drinking the pure milk of the Word, to being mature believers, living stones. Living stones, preparing for the priesthood. And what does it mean to be a living stone preparing for the priesthood? One thing that we have talked about is in John 15, abiding in Christ, abiding in the vine. And what does it mean to abide in the vine? That means to literally remain in the vine, remain. It's a constant. And if we are going to grow as living stones, as preparing for the priesthood, and that is what this season of time that we're in right now is preparing us for, is for the priesthood that's going to be released. And if we're going to effectively step into the call that God has on our lives, step into the role of priesthood, a mature son and daughter of God, we've got to let him take us into maturity. We've got to let him take us into a place where we are truly abiding in him, where we are allowing him to work out of us the things that interfere with the flow of the Spirit. When we were up in Sacramento, the translator that was working with me, she was very good, and she was very attentive, and she watched me closely. And it can be distracting sometimes when you're in the flow of the Spirit and you're moving and you're trying to make sure that, you know, you keep your train of thought, and you have to pause for the translator. And it's like, okay, where do I pause? You shouldn't see me last year. It was quite interesting. You think, well, you know, don't you get used to it? Well, actually, you really do try to get used to it, but it's not always the easiest thing. But something took place in Sacramento. The Lord moved in the room, and I looked over, and I said something, and the translator said something, and I said something, and she said something, and I felt in my spirit an amen. And I know she's only translating what I just said, but the reality of it is the Spirit of the Lord was moving through us. And even though I couldn't understand her because she was translating into Chinese, into Mandarin, my spirit was ignited, and there was a flow that began to take place, and the Lord carried the service through. And it was the first time I've experienced such a tremendous flow of the Spirit like that, working with a translator. And I was so grateful to the Lord because of the message that he had given me for the intercessors, which we're going to make available on our website pretty soon. But it taught me something. When we submit ourselves to him, to his working, to his flow, when we have emptied ourselves of ourselves, the Spirit steps in and begins to flow. And when that happens, the most amazing thing transpires. The most amazing thing, because you have emptied your vessel in preparation for the Lord to work through you. And he taught me a really powerful lesson that day. Because as I shared the information that I had studied and I had researched and I had prayed, and I had three messages actually set up for that day, and I didn't know what the Lord was going to have me do, and he just rolled it together. It was really beautiful. But what happened was the Holy Spirit began to speak through me, and I was learning while I shared. So while she was speaking, my spirit would be ignited, and it would carry to the next step in that message. And I hope that I'm able to get this across, because what happened was the result of pressing through obstacles. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, because the reality of it is I fail all the time. I am just so excited when I get out of the way and the Lord just can move through me. He's like, I have been trying to tell you for years, get out of my way so I could just flow through you. Now you're finally getting it. But when he does that, and I know that there is a real flow of the Spirit, because as he's delivering the message through me, I am learning. He's working in me too. He's doing a deep work, because the flow of the Spirit begins to take place, and it is the Spirit that does the work. The word, the prayer, and the Spirit does the work in our lives. That's what brings us to maturity. The word, prayer, and the Spirit working in our lives. And when we can bring ourselves to a place of understanding, it really isn't anything we can do except, of course, being obedient. but laying ourselves down for his use. That's when God can move, because he's not getting blocked by us. I was talking to some friends this week, and one of them said, you know, lately I've been, instead of us thinking that, you know, we've got to get maybe like one-eighth of us, there's like one-eighth of us that needs to be removed, right? And then the seven-eighths, that's what God can work with. He said, I'm beginning to think that it's actually, we need to get seven-eighths of us removed. And then you get down to the one-eighth, and that's the meat, the truth of who we are. And that's what God can work with. And then he can begin to fill us up with himself and have a vessel for his use. And I thought about that, and actually that's been just pouring through my mind and pouring through my spirit since I had that conversation. And I was thinking about the refiner's fire from Malachi 3. I was thinking about that refiner's fire, and I thought, Lord, are you wanting me to talk about the refining work again? You know, we talked about this before, but I'll do it. He says, I need you to look into it a little bit more because there's something you are missing. I've talked about the heating up of the precious metal. I've talked about the work of the goldsmith. I've talked about how they heat it up and the dross rises to the surface and then they would scrape off the dross. But here's the thing. There's a step, quite a few steps actually, but there's a step that the Lord is saying, this is the step I want you to talk about tonight. There's this, and please, again, I say, forgive me if I miss, if I do this a little wrong, just forgive me because I just got this information today. But when they go and they harvest the material that has the gold in it, you know, they don't just go and get a nugget out of a mountain. And they don't just go pick, I mean, I guess you can just go pick up a nugget in the stream. It just happens, you know, it just, it's great. But the reality of it is, when you go and you are a gold miner, you go into the mountain and you bring out chunks of rock because there's gold vein inside the mountain. And so you bring out chunks of rock that are all around this vein. And you take it out, and they put it into this. Now, there's some that are on a smaller scale, and then, of course, there's a much bigger scale. But I'm going to talk about the smaller scale because it speaks to the one-eighth and the seven-eighths of who we are that God is trying to remove. You get this rock, and you put it in this test, almost like a test tube, and there's different ways they can do this. They can do this with acid. They can do this with, there's a couple other chemicals that they can use to kind of burn off all the rock, and you're left with this dust stuff, and they heat that up. But we're going to focus on the physical breaking down of that rock. Because they have this little tube, and it reminds me of a beaker, you know, that you used in science in high school and college. And they have this, and it's metal. It's made of metal, and it's a tube shape. And you put your pieces of rock in there, and the camera kind of pans in, and you get to see the rock. And I'm looking at these little pieces of rock, and I'm thinking, there's not one single fleck of gold. How do they know there's gold in that rock? But, you know, they do this for a living, so they know what they're doing. So they have this other thing, and it has a little handle attached to it, but it fits inside this canister, and it fits in there very snugly. It's got weight to it, and they hold the handle, and then they begin to just pound on it. Now, for large-scale things, they have machines for this, but this is a tedious task. And they pound on it, and they pound on it, and they pound on it, and they pound on it until that tube that was filled, we'll say halfway up, three quarters of the way up, that tube that is filled up with pieces of rock, has been ground down into a fine powder. And I mean, it's a really fine powder. And I looked at that and I thought, when they first put that in, it was pretty high up. But he had to come through and break it down. Break it down because it was hard. You couldn't work with it the way it was. As a goldsmith, and he broke it down, and he broke it down, and he broke it down until it was this fine powder that he could work with. So it's called ore. That's what they bring out of the mountain and put in this thing. And I looked at that powder, and I thought, that kind of feels like what this year has been for me. That kind of feels like what the last couple of years have been. Like someone has put me inside this jar, this metal, and they have just been pounding and pounding and pounding on me. And I thought, Lord, help me out a little bit here and tell me, say there were a few pieces of rock that were put into this tube. What gives me a picture here? Let's label the rocks. What is it that you're trying to pound out of me? And he took me to the scriptures. And that's the beauty of the Lord. If we go to Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 23, Mark 7:14. And he says, he called the people to him, and again he said it to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand what I say. There's not even one thing outside a man which by going into him can pollute and defile him. But the things which come out of a man are what defile him and make him unhallowed and unclean. If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening, and let him perceive and comprehend by hearing. And when he had finished, he left the crowd and had gone into the house. His disciples began asking him about the parable. And he said to them, there are you also unintelligent and dull. And he said, then are you also unintelligent and dull and without understanding? Do you not discern and see that whatever goes into a man from the outside cannot make him unhallowed or unclean, since it does not reach and enter his heart, but only his digestive tract, and so passes on to the place designed to receive waste. Thus, he was making and declaring all food ceremonially clean, that is, abolishing the ceremonial distinctions of the Levitical law. And he said, what comes out of a man is what makes a man unclean and renders him unhallowed. For from within, that is, out of the hearts of men, come base and wicked thoughts, sexual immorality, stealing, murder, adultery, coveting, a greedy desire to have more wealth, dangerous and destructive wickedness, deceit, unrestrained, indecent conduct, an evil eye, that's envy, slander, evil speaking, malicious misrepresentation, abusiveness, pride, the sin of an uplifted heart against God and man, foolishness, folly, lack of sense, recklessness, thoughtlessness, all these evil purposes and desires come from within, and they make the man unclean and render him unhallowed. And I said, wow, Lord. Wow. Coveting, deceit, unrestrained conduct, envy, slander, pride, foolishness, wicked thoughts, sexual immorality, stealing, murder, adultery. You see, the first verse there, verse 21, that one we feel like is pretty easy for us to let go when we accept the Lord. We accept Him. We recognize our sin. We realize we can't do this without Him. And these are blatant sins that we engage in, blatant things that are, we know, you know, it's along the Ten Commandments there. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not, you know, commit murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. What about the next layer? I feel like when we first, when we accept the Lord and He cleanses us and we begin the path of learning what it means to abide in Him and allow Him to do a deep work within us, those are things that we can easily recognize and set aside. Not everybody does. And there's no judgment here. There is, seriously, some people just need some deep prayer and they need to understand the word, especially if they've spent 50 or 60 years out in the world. Sometimes God gets a hold of people and He shakes them up so bad they don't want to do anything that would affect what He has done in their lives. He puts a knowing, a conscience inside of them. And a conviction takes place when they're about to step into sin. And I've heard it. It's powerful testimony of the transformation of the Lord that's very quick. But those little things like envy, jealousy, pride. I think pride is one of the hardest things for us to really recognize that we're walking in. But Jesus told them, the things that defile us come from within, not without. The things that defile us come from within. So when we are lying, it's not because the enemy's sitting there poking on us, trying to make us lie. Even those, what they call them, what, little white lies? A lie is a lie is a lie. You know, and when you come out of the world, I think it's very difficult for people to let go of lying. Envy, really understanding what it means to envy, to covet after something. It begins to become an obsession within us. It provokes other sin in our lives. We see this in the world all the time. We see it, I mean, you can't walk out your front door without seeing some level of sin in this world. You can't look at video games, you can't watch TV, you can't watch a commercial, you can't go down and see advertisements. You can't go down the freeway looking at billboards without seeing sin. There's lust. They say sex sells. It's everywhere. So what do we do as believers to stand against this, to allow the Lord to work this out of us, to submit ourselves to the pounding work of the refiner? The pounding, the pressing, the taking that ore from a solid, hard, hard, hard rock until it becomes fine. Fine particles. How do we do that? How do we do that? The first thing that we do, of course, is we repent. We repent as intercessors. We repent for the nation. We repent for our families. We repent, we repent, we repent. But understanding what that sin does in our lives, understanding the effect it has on our soul, understanding the effect it has on our relationship with God. It puts a heaviness on the heart, a real pressing on the heart. And I share that because even though I have been saved for a lot of years, it took time for me to enter into a hunger for God. It took time of studying His Word and understanding what His Word says for me to have a hunger for Him. It took time, practice, diligence in prayer for me to get the spiritual muscles to be able to press through to victory. It took time. And I know it doesn't seem like we have a lot of time left, does it? We are in the last days. And that's why the Lord has brought us to this place together. That's why the Lord has called us to this time of refining, where He is going to put us in this little tube and He is going to begin the pounding work to break down the ore so He can take us to the next step. He can't even put us in the crucible, which, by the way, is what they call that thing that they put the gold into to begin heating it up, the flex. It's a crucible. Interesting, isn't it? And they have to heat it up to 1,100 degrees Celsius. That is really, really hot. We have to go through the pounding of the Lord, the pounding work of the Holy Spirit to break out of us the envy, to break out of us the strife, to break down our pride. To bring us to a place where we bow the knee and we submit to the Lord God and His work in our lives. We say, oh, I know I've got a call. I've got a plan. I've got a purpose. Wait, you've got a plan? Oh, let me step back a minute. Oh, I know I've got a call. I've got a purpose in life. Whose plan is leading your call? Whose plan is leading your purpose? Is it yours? Is it 10 steps to success in ministry? Or is it the Lord? Is it the Holy Spirit working within you to develop you from an immature babe in Christ drinking the pure milk of the Word to someone who can get out a fork and pick up a steak and chew through it and digest it? Really get at the meat, because He will not reveal the meat of His Word until you have continuously consumed the milk of His Word. People say, every time I read the Bible, I get something new out of it. Yes, that's the design. That's the design of the Word of God. Paul tells the Ephesians, I pray that God will give you wisdom and knowledge and understanding and discernment. You should pray it every day over your lives, every single day. But He will not give you those things until you have walked with Him and you've spent time in prayer and you've spent time in His Word, because that's where our wisdom is developed. It's imparted to us. That's why we understand the Word more every time we go through it. Because He is pulling back the layers of us and imparting another layer of the Holy Spirit. He's taking us to a place where instead of us being, you know, all Ricky, 8-8 Ricky, He's shaving away, He's pounding it down until we're down to 7-8 Ricky, 6-8 Ricky, 5-8 Ricky, half. Until we get down to that place where we are 1/8 Ricky. 1/8. Because that's the truth. That's the meat of who we are. And the rest that He will put into us that will go on the crucible, and he will begin to impart in us himself. After the crucible, he imparts into us. We can begin to be shaped and to be molded. Pure gold is 24 karat, pure gold. A goldsmith can go up and he can press his finger, his thumb, into a piece of gold, and he can actually leave his thumbprint. That takes a lot of work, a lot of pounding, a lot of refining to get gold to 24 karats. That's pure. There's a beauty there. It's pure. Can God come into your life and press his thumb onto you and leave his fingerprints? Do you bear the fingerprints of God? I ask him often, let me bear your fingerprints, oh God. And what do I mean by that? That means work in me today so that when you're done with me, your fingerprints are all over me because I've stayed soft and malleable to you and you're working in my life. I've allowed you to shape and to mold me. And at the close of the day, I've got your fingerprints on me. Please, help me to put away my plan and submit to yours. Do you know how long it took me to get here? It takes a long time. But I was stubborn. I was stubborn. And I had to repent to him for that. No, I'll do it my way, God. I got to do this and this and this, and then I can pray, and then I can get into your word. Then I can step into the call. He said, looks like we need some more pounding. Not too malleable now, are we? Things have to be just right. I need to be able to travel to be in ministry. I mean, I've been in ministry for, you know, over 20 years, but I need to be able to travel, Lord. You know, you've got to make a way. And he said, stop making excuses. Obey me. Submit to me. I will make a way if you will say yes. I have a plan, and you need to put your plan at the foot of the cross and let me design your plan for you. I haven't created you to fit in somebody else's mold. I have a mold for you. I have a call for you. I have a plan for you, designed for you. Why? Because I shaped and molded you in your mother's womb, and I knew exactly the person you'd be. I knew exactly what you would do from the moment you took your first breath until the moment you will die. Who knows you like I do? Submit to it and let me do the work in your life. I will launch you. I will set your path before you. I didn't ask you to give me your 5-year plan. I said, come and kneel. Submit to my will. And I will guide you every step of the way. That takes a lot of faith. That takes a lot of faith. It was very scary for me. It was very scary. I'm just being honest with you. It was very scary. I had to trust him. I had to trust him. You think, well, didn't you trust him already? He did send his son to die for you. Well, I believe that. I trusted that. See, he had to work on me. He had to pull the ore out of the mountain and he had to pound it down into dust so he could take it through the next process and the next process and create a being malleable, one that bears the fingerprints of the Father. Time is moving quickly, and the Lord is going to do this work in us quickly. He wants to do this quickly. He needs to do this quickly. I've shared before, people go through inner healing, they go through, they get saved and they go through inner healing, and it takes them 20 years to get to that place where God can use them. Because they've got so much of the world that they've picked up that scarred them. The layers of their soul have been scarred by the world. But time is short. We see it when we look at the unity movement. Time is short. We don't have time for 20 years of inner healing anymore. God is going to take us through the process quickly, saved, delivered, healed in the name of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will come in with you and fill you up. It doesn't mean you're off and running in ministry, but it does mean he shaved off several steps for you. Because he needs you to get in there and get with God. It's for the sake of the church. But we do have to make that decision to lay it all down, to submit our will. Say, here I am, Lord. Empty me. Take me down, Lord God, to just the bare meat, to the truth of who I am. And then build upon me. Build upon me a vessel usable by you. That is what our cry must be in this hour. And if we haven't done it yet, we need to start now. We need to start now. I'll close with this. Ephesians. Such a pertinent book for today, and I'm teaching it to our staff right now. And those lessons are, you can find them in the Intercessor's Watch page of our website if you want to listen to them. There's already two up there. Ephesians 1, verse 5. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. That word redemption, it means winning back which was previously forfeited. Redemption represents the distance between a believer and what previously enslaved them. The distance between a believer and what previously enslaved them. Sin. Sin is that which separates us from God. We are purchased from the debt of sin and brought into our new stature in Christ. Let me ask you, and I challenge you, actually. I don't ask you, I challenge you. After prayer tonight, ask yourself, how far are you from that person who first got saved? How far are you from that person who first got saved? We are redeemed by his blood. And there's a lot of work he's got to do in us to get the world out of us. How far are you from that point? Because the further you are from that person who first got saved, the greater your distance, the deeper you are in Christ. The greater the distance you are from that person who first got saved, the deeper you are in Christ. I challenge you to ask yourself that question and be really brutally honest. And if you don't see much space, I suggest you get on your face and ask him to help you distance yourself from that person, that sinner that he redeemed so long ago. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for the work of your word. I thank you for the work of the cross, and I thank you for the work of the word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that you have given us that we might mature in you. I ask that you would help us, shape and mold us, develop us, purify us. Bring us to that 24 karat gold that can be shaped and molded by our Maker. Let us demonstrate, let us protect, let when people look at us, let them see the fingerprints of God all over us. Help us to know, Lord God, when we get off track, and help us to come to our knees before you. We are the church. We pray as a ministry every single week for the church, that the church would wake up and turn away from the deception that's taking place right now. Help us, Lord God, to be the forerunners, bearing the markings of our Maker. Help us, Lord God. Help us. Help us. Help us. I thank you, Lord. What a sinner, Lord God, I am, and I just thank you. I thank you. I thank you for your working. I thank you for your refining. I thank you for the depth of your love. Thank you. Thank you. In your precious and holy name.